In verse 30, it doesn't speak about the children of Israel, but it speaks about the walls. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. And what was the cause? What caused them to fall? After they were compassed about 7 days. Now, we have a lot historically about the 7 days and marching around there, but doesn't speak about the faith of the people of Israel to follow God's word. And I wondered what the significance of this might be, that as though the walls had been, even the elements or the circumstances, everything had to obey the Lord's command, we know. And it leaves the people of Israel completely out of the picture here. But when it comes to the fact, they had to march around them 7 times silently. And when we think of the method that God taught them how to march, to be silent, and then the trumpets or the sound of the horn and a message given out. It's a beautiful picture, together with the Rahab and the scarlet cord that's hung out the window, that here's something that God is illustrating and showing, and faith will recognize simply God's word and will do what he said. They were told to go around there 7 times. They obeyed. How God was going to respond to that, I don't believe that they knew any more than what God had said, and that the walls fell down. So it's a remarkable thing to think of the high walls of which they would have been afraid, the walls up to heaven. Now, what difference does it make how high the walls are if you don't have to climb them? All they had to do is march around them, and marching around them brought them down according to God's word. And so we see one miracle after another. But again, it brings out the great fact of that in this chapter of faith, that there is that in the believer who simply to trust God's word, which seems to be the most unreasonable thing to do, but he goes on and follows in obedience. But there was another thing that was there. They carried the ark around it. And the ark there was present with them. The presence of the Lord with them in the path that they were now launching out on. The first obstacle that they met in taking possession of the land.
I believe it's in the Psalms that the ark is referred to as the power of God, that this was what brought down the walls. The scientific understanding of how it could happen, perhaps someone could speculate, but obviously from a human standpoint, it made no sense. You walk around quietly once a day for 6 days, and then on the seventh, well, what difference does it make how many times and on the seventh day that many times? Because God had commanded it so. And the reasons the wall fell down was the faith that was displayed in God's word that he would conquer this. And always remember that Jericho in type reminds us it's of the world. So this is the application. Some things we are told to do to protect us from the world, to overcome the world, they may not make so much sense at first, but they will in the end. And the Lord has given us instruction in his word on how to do that, how to overcome the world. The two go together, I believe, verse 30 and 31. It was the same event. And with Rahab, what a precious description of our deliverance. We are all like Rahab. We were in this world, and we were doomed for the same judgment the world was going to receive. But God has made a way for us to be protected. There is one fraction of part of one of the walls that had a window that apparently didn't crumble down. And they were able to locate where she was. And anyone who was in her home was safe. And so we want to run to the house of Rahab. because that's where the scarlet thread is hanging. And that's the one house that won't tumble. And God will bring us out. And this really is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood. I think the scarlet thread would remind us of the Lord's shed blood. And we come to these others. You know, I had a thought about the prophets. Their names aren't given here at the end of verse 32. Just listed in a collective way. And when we think about those that we know of in Scripture, they had to live by faith. They were given instructions that didn't make sense to them. I think especially of Elijah. You know, you're going to go here and you're going to go there, and I'm going to provide for you, so I'm going to send you to a widow who's on her last meal. This doesn't make sense to us, but this is God's ways. And Elisha as well, many examples in the Old Testament. Some have tried to connect the events now that are listed in verse 33 through verse 40 with these names. But I think that's not the purpose, and I don't think we can necessarily connect them with the names from the first verse of chapter 11 to this point. There are examples in some of the names that are listed. But think about the great things that were done by faith. Great things are done by faith, as well as small things. But subdued kingdoms, imagine to start out with that one. Subdued kingdoms, plural? Yeah, subdued kingdoms. This is a tremendous first one. And we can think of people in the past that accomplished that, especially Joshua when he came into the land. So may the Lord help us as we go through these. Wrought righteousness. I believe there's 10 things listed here that are mentioned to wrought righteousness. Now, what would that mean? How would we understand that expression? Obtained promises. So God had given words to them. And now, by faith, they went out and did it, and they obtained what was given to them. The Lord gave them the faith to do that. Stop the mouths of lions. I think of Daniel's experience, right? He was in a den of lions, full of lions, and their mouths were stopped. The minute he was taken out and they threw the other guys in, well, they had a big meal. And it showed that those lions, their mouths were stopped, right? When Daniel was there. That's just one example.
Just a thought. Just like to read two portions, one found in the book of James in chapter 2 and verse 5. May connect with some of the thoughts that we just had. It says in James chapter 2 verse 5, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him?" And then 1 Corinthians chapter 1, familiar verses here, verse 27 and 28. I'll read verse 26. "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, and things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are." And I think one of the common threads, if you would, in the verses that we have before us is that while there's not the specific names that are always brought out in these verses, that one thing that is common is that they moved by or through faith, and therefore God through the Spirit placed their names here. But we can think of how Gideon, in the time in which he lived, where the Midianites had destroyed all of the food sustenance, that he was faithful and called a man of valor because he was providing food during that particular time. Barak, though, we often think of his lack of faith, and we see that as a weakness. Yet he goes along with Deborah. And though Jael was the woman through whom the enemy was defeated, we see and we read of the wonderful song of Deborah and Barak, right? And so the weakness, right, is in every one of us. And God is sometimes looking just for that little bit of faith, right, that devotedness to him that he sees in the heart in a day of weakness, departure. You know, as great as Samson was after his natural strength, it was in his weakness that God gave him the victory. It's said of him that he slew more men in his death than he did his entire life. So this again points us to the greatness of the Lord Jesus. You think of the testimony of David. It is said that Saul slew his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And we think of how great the work of the Lord was on the cross, that where man and the enemy saw it as the Lord being crucified in weakness, that he couldn't help himself. He allowed himself to be taken. But through that display of what man saw as weakness, what a great bounty has come. The souls that have come. And we were talking about this over lunch, that he shall in that day see of the travail of his soul, every soul that has been saved through the cross, and he shall be satisfied.